My lesson tonight is entitled, Who Am I? Well, you might say, Stephen Williams, duh. That's not quite the angle that I had in mind, but it would be true. And what I'm thinking of is, what is important about why I'm here? What's my purpose in life? What should I be doing? And that's what I want to focus on this evening. Many in the world have no idea. They figure we're born into this world and our goal is to get ahead in this life and to have a great time. And that's their purpose in life. And it's such an empty life. You know, when we're born into this world, we don't have a say of our birth parents. And so we come in all shapes and sizes, different characteristics. I wish I was taller like Larry, but we don't have a say on things like that. And but yet the world focuses so heavily on physical appearance and on outward looks and not the inward man. You might have heard, what you see is what you get. Really, that's pretty shallow, because that's not who we are. And I want us to look at a few passages here. Let's look at 1 Peter 3, verse 3. 1 Peter 3 and verse 3. Here Peter says, "Do not let your beauty be the outward adorning of arranging the hair, of wearing gold, or of putting on fine apparel. But let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible ornament of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God." So Peter is saying, don't worry about the outward show of things. What is important is, and I think this is interesting, a gentle and quiet spirit. And he says that this is an incorruptible ornament. These are characteristics that can save your life, save your soul. And these items are very precious in the sight of God, he says. Turn to 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 1. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 1. And look at how Paul speaks about himself. And it's not the body he's talking about here, which is interesting. 2 Corinthians 5, beginning with verse 1. "For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life." He describes this body as a tent, a temporal thing. I enjoy going camping every now and then, but that's certainly not something that I want to live in permanently. It's a temporal thing. And this tent will be destroyed, and some were being destroyed at that time through persecution and being killed. And Paul is saying that is even better, because now you've gotten out of this tent and you're being able to put on incorruptibility and eternal life in the heavens. In 2 Corinthians 4, beginning with verse 16, it reads, chapter just before this, "Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." When you're in your 20s and maybe early 30s, you don't really seem to think that this body is perishing. But once you start getting into your late 40s, into 50s, you begin to feel it in your body, that yes, indeed, this body is perishing. And our focus does not need to be on the temporal things. Larry read a passage in Acts 7 about Stephen. And when he, last words he said was, "Father, receive my spirit." And he fell asleep. And what Stephen was concerned about was his spirit being freed from the body and going on to live into eternity. But our spirit is connected to this body. And through the flesh, we're tempted by Satan. The spirit certainly is willing, but the flesh is weak. Look at 1 John 2. 1 John 2, beginning with verse 15. And John describes how we are tempted. "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever." So John indicates over here what causes us to be tempted within this body. Paul describes a war that is going on within our bodies, and the spirit and the flesh. And we read about this in Romans 7. Romans 7, I want to read two verses here in 23 through 25. Romans 7, verse 23. "But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin." So Paul says through Jesus Christ, he can win this war. But it is a constant war that is bombarding us daily because we're attached to this body. And it is through that that Satan uses temptation to get to us. In Romans 8, verse 4, same page here, it says that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So we see the importance of changing our minds when we become Christians. If we are carnally minded, we are not making it to heaven. We have got to change our whole thinking. And when we take on Christ and we start to study about His will, the world gets a totally different picture. We may have watched a show and laughed and thought it was really entertaining. But then when we look at it through Jesus' eyes, after understanding His word, we might watch half of that show and just turn it off in disgust because of the worldliness that is involved in that show. And this is the way it ought to be, that sin becomes, we see the destruction of sin in our lives and other people's lives. And it just makes us sick to see that, and we want to avoid it in every situation that we possibly can. Verse 12 and verse 14 through 14 says, "Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God." And Paul himself is writing these words, but it's not easy for him either. In 1 Corinthians 9, verse 27, 1 Corinthians 9, 27, Paul says of himself, "But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified." And so Paul says it's a constant battle, and he's constantly having to discipline himself to keep the body in check of the things that it wants. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane in Matthew chapter 26, while he was praying, and the three apostles were waiting for him while he prayed, they fell asleep. And when Jesus came back, he said to them in Matthew 26 and verse 40, "Then he came to the disciples and found them asleep and said to Peter, 'What, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak.'" Jesus knew what the flesh is. He said it's weak. And because of that, we have got to watch and pray. If we know of our weaknesses, it helps tremendously in fighting that. Mr. Nance is a handyman. He, all throughout his life, he did all kinds of things, gardening and running the tractor and fixing cars, fixing things all over the house, you name it. But not too long ago, he started to get arthritis in his wrist, had surgery, and it didn't heal. And it has really slowed him down to what he's been able to do with that wrist, and pains him tremendously if he tries to do something, to turn something in particular. But when we know we have a weak member of our body, it can help us beforehand to know, I can't pick this box up, or I can't turn this, it's going to hurt. And sin is the same way. And we need to know where our weaknesses are, so that we try to avoid getting in those situations where we're going to be tempted. And know, I've got a tremendous weakness in this area. I need to stay away from anything that is going to put me in that situation. Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. So in conclusion, I want to read Romans 12 and verse 1. And this is our purpose in life right here. Romans 12, 1 through 2. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." You know, we had the movie here recently, the Transformers, and James has got his toys, the cars that'll transform into robots and things. And that's what that word means. We've got to be transformed. We have to be changed. What was natural for us here, when we start to see the world through God's eyes, we become transformed. And the way that we do that, it says, by the renewing of our minds. Well, how do we do that? We do that through study. Through study of God's will. That's how we can see the world through His eyes. And we can renew our hearts so that we can be transformed. And that we can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So who am I? Well, I am a spirit being inside of a temporal, fleshly body. And it's a good exercise to think of ourselves that way. And when you talk with somebody, blank out what they look like and try to see the inward person of who they truly are. What do you see? Do you see a gentle, loving, kind individual? Or do you see somebody that is arrogant, selfish, self-centered, cheating. That is what is important. It's the heart within us. If you've been living for the flesh all of your lives, there's so many things that you are missing when you look at life through God's eyes. And there is an eternal purpose for you that you have not learned about. We beg of you, if you have not obeyed the gospel yet, to take on Jesus in baptism this night, and you can be a child of God seeking that eternal home to be with Him forever and ever in eternity. Won't you come as we stand and sing?